Happy Tuesday, folks. May 5th, 2020. Cinco de Mayo. Big, every now and then we go out and have some tequila on May 5th. You're going to have to be drinking at home, though, this year. Just the way it is. Hope you're going to at least have a couple cocktails tonight, today. What the hell's the difference? 50 million people out of work. I think there's going to be a lot of cocktails flowing today. Off to the races this week. Expect big things from True Pundit in the next 24 hours or so. We'll do a More Pain show on patreon.com/TruePundit tonight. Should be breaking news on there and then following up on Wednesday. If everything clicks, should be very interesting. There's a lot of stuff going on the federal side. Federal sources are heating up this week and over the weekend. We're doing a live, it's not live, it's taped. Yeah, we're doing a taped podcast, but on video on patreon.com/TruePundit. What's up, guys, out there watching on the video podcast? Watching a man come unglued on a on a daily basis. So, we appreciate the support, and I know I keep saying that, but we keep getting support, so I'm going to keep saying it. And expect some big changes on the podcast. We're working on new hosting, improved everything, really. So I didn't know what the hell I was doing when I started out, so we just kind of started at ground. So we outgrew our original host, so we have to make changes because they can't really handle what's been happening with the traffic, and it's no fault of their own, just the way it is. So a lot of changes coming, folks. So mostly due to you guys from listening. You guys are out there listening, and so we have to make some adjustments to make sure we can accommodate the additional traffic. That's the way it is. So here we go. Cinco de Mayo, a day 2020. It's not even the real Mexican Independence Day. I think it's September 16th. But Cinco de Mayo is largely celebrated by Mexican Americans in the United States, and largely to gringos like myself. We just like to go out and drink every now and then, and have some good Mexican food and some margaritas or some tequila and or some cervezas, right? So, from a kid who was 15, your first. Went to Juarez. The first time I was out of the country, I was in Juarez. So my memories of Mexico, and that was one of many times. So that, my memories of Mexico are off to a crazy start. I should do a movie on that trip to Juarez. Where they said, hey, just go by yourself and check back in the hotel later. It's like 15 going on 25 real fast. In the summer, you go back to school. sophomore summer, you go back to school junior, a man. I'll shut up now. Okay, first headline: the coronavirus death rate is much lower than the estimates justifying the lockdowns. This is an ongoing theme, isn't it? Back in March, the World Health Organization estimate the World Health Organization is giving the band the WHO a really bad name, I noticed. The WHO really should be getting more favorable press, but thanks to these dopes and this warlord running the World Health Organization, the village warlord, WHO estimated a 3.4% fatality rate, and Dr. Anthony Fauci estimated that the fatality rate of the coronavirus was about 2%. Wrong. You'll remember how President Trump endured a lot of criticism for saying that he had a hunch that the WHO's estimate was too high and that the fatality rate of the coronavirus might actually be below 1%. Quote, well, I think the 3.4% is really a false number now, and this is just my hunch. A lot of people will have this, and it's very mild. They'll get better rapidly. They don't even see a doctor. Don't even call a doctor, Trump said. This goes on and on and on. Just real quick on Fauci, right before the end of Monday night, we moved this story on True Pundit about Fauci. And we got to it late, but we got it out on Monday. We found a video where he lobbied to allow deadly Ebola victims entry into the United States, and he testified in Congress to permit travel, permit them to travel to the U.S. via commercial air. And this guy, if you can believe it, one thing after another with this phony. Isn't it the same Fauci that has Americans locked up in their homes for a flu-like virus? So coronavirus gets Americans house arrest, but deadly Ebola victims should be permitted to fly and to enter the United States. Okay, I just want to make that sure. I want to make sure of that. Because it gets confusing. I'm not a medical expert, but, you know, let people with the deadly disease into the U.S. and let people who might have the flu lock them down in their house. I guess so the deadly people can mill around easier. Putting Fauci in charge of the medical situation in the United States is like putting Bill Clinton in charge of a teen slumber party. They're just going to go bad. This guy is the worst. What is he still? I tweeted to President Trump with that story tonight. I said, why does this guy still have a government job? Anybody? I got to get the crickets on the... do we have crickets? Oh, we have crickets. Hold on. Do we have crickets? We got crickets now. Anytime they're ready to shut up would be good, too. 30 seconds of crickets might be a little bit too long. I have to talk to the tech guys. That's good to know. We got crickets. It's little things that get me excited when I'm on house arrest. Stanford University study, Santa Clara antibody study, New York antibody testing study. They're all in Massachusetts. I'm looking at all these studies, the Lancet infectious disease study. They're all wrong, by the way. All these people are going to die, and I'm not besmirching the folks who have had battles with it and stuff, but, you know, if it would be interesting to take a look at the 2020 data on this coronavirus and put it up with the 2019 flu data. It's probably exactly the same. Don't forget they're beefing these numbers up in 2020, everybody. If you die of a broken leg or you fall down the stairs, you had coronavirus. Anyway. What the hell is going on, folks, right? Fever reading drones, just the first of a wave of privacy challenges, civil liberty advocates say. Last month, police departments in Daytona Beach, Florida, and they're still looking for us in Daytona Beach, by the way, from a rash of spring break trips. I'm not going down there. I'm dead serious. There might still be warrants out down there, but that's another story. Last month, police departments in Daytona Beach and Connecticut unveiled what was initially touted as a potential new tool against the pandemic: drones capable of taking a person's temperature from 300 feet in the air. This is what we need, right? I can't get a doctor's appointment with a phone call. Like, I have to wait, but I can have a drone from 300 feet figure out if I'm sick or not. Can we just replace these doctor visits? I'll be happy to pay the copay. It's like $35 copay. When we were paying, had this crappy government insurance that I had after coming off of the battle with the government, our copay was $85. Figure that out. $85 if you want to go see a doctor. You know, I'll just sit and sweat it out for 3 or 4 days. I don't need to spend the $85, right? But I can get checked out by a drone. Can they just drop off the medication, the script too? Can you just drop the script off from the drone? Have it fall like one of those coupons when you go to the hockey game, the big hockey game. They have the blimp flying around. They drop coupons on the crowd. That's what we need. Some of these doctors don't know what the hell they're doing to begin with. Anyhow, like, yeah, just let me give you a script. Call me if it gets worse. It's like, what am I doing here? I had to come up here. I had to make an appointment. I had to pay $85, and you gave me a script. 5 days later, I'm not any better. I have to do the whole thing. Oh, if you, well, I can only, they have a sign at my doctor's office, a pen. It said, if you have a problem, you can only discuss one problem per visit. You can't come in with a shotgun approach. Oh, my elbow hurts. My arm hurts. You know, my head's been hurting too. And my ass hurts. No. That's four different visits. You came for your hand. You didn't come for your ass. It sure hurts every time I leave here, though, in my wallet. Yeah, so you can't double and triple up on visits. You have to come back. $85 a shot. You guys know what I'm talking about. $75 a copay. Jesus Christ. Thanks, Obama. Okay. So we're talking about police departments in Daytona and Connecticut. Both agencies quickly backtracked on using the machines to track the coronavirus after a backlash from civil liberty groups warning about the implications of a, quote, big doctor in the sky, singling out people simply for running a fever when it might be nothing more than a common and less deadly flu. The raised other concerns here. Cops are supposed to be monitoring health information that is private under federal law, right? Are drone readings, even with sophisticated infrared sensors, a trustworthy way to protect public health without violating individual rights? What individual rights? We don't have any individual rights. Doctor's offices and visits have gotten kind of crazy. I went in for something. I don't know. Something was wrong. So my wife's like, I'll go with you. I mean, I was like, what am I, a little kid? She said, let me go with you because you never translate the information properly. You never really tell me what's going on. I'm like, because I don't really remember what they say, right? So they say to me, they ask me these questions up front. Do you feel threatened at home? And I just started pointing at her. Yeah, I do. I feel really threatened at home. And the lady's like, are you serious? Do you seriously feel threatened? I'm like, look at her. Look at her over there, eagle eye on me. Wouldn't you feel threatened? And I'm laughing, and the lady's like, well, we don't know if you're serious, and if you are serious, we need to report that. I said, report her. Put her down. Get the cops in here. Start asking her questions. Get her off my tail. Do I feel threatened? I feel threatened in the reception area. It's costing me $85 in here for you to interrogate me. At least the FBI, when they show up, they don't charge me anything. Thermal cameras have been installed at the criminal courthouse in Miami. You know, don't worry about the cocaine. See if these cartel members are running a fever. Okay. Governors in Massachusetts and Alabama have signed executive orders telling local health agencies to give first responders the address of anyone who tested positive for COVID-19. Yeah, get their address. We're going to round their ass up later. Yeah, make sure you get their address. Google and Apple are working on cell phone applications that could inform someone on the other end of a call that they're speaking with a virus carrier. Look, buy a burner phone and leave the smartphones at home. They're great, right? But they're getting a little bit too smart. And these people and the government is getting in on this, right? I found out today that from Maria Albanese that, let me take a drink, falling apart already. Reuters, the news agency, has a service where they help rat out people to the police department. They monitor things, and this is a news agency. They rat people out to cops and stuff when they find out that they have some kind of software that helps rat people out for crimes and suspected crimes. Can you believe this? Unbelievable. Who the fuck are they? They're out of the UK, I believe, right? Stay in the UK, you fucking twerps. 2001. We're still talking about the drones. Uh, 2001, when less than 2 months after terrorists struck New York City and Washington, D.C., Congress enacted the Patriot Act, which greatly expanded the nation's surveillance laws while reducing checks and balances on judicial oversight, despite a litany of concerns raised about an erosion of civil rights. Erosion? I would say dismantling or implosion of civil rights. Constitutional experts say the courts have historically sided with governments. Of course, the fucking courts are the government. I like how they make it sound like the courts are separate from the government. In the early stages of emergencies and health crises, and have been receptive to arguments that there is a compelling interest for governments to quash some privacy laws for the betterment of society. Yeah, trample that Constitution whenever you feel like it. So it's an emergency, don't you know? Some people are dying. Make no reference to the, what is it, 129, 150 people who die every day of opioids in the United States. Don't worry about them. This prick over here has got a fever. This guy looks like he's Asian. And this guy over here is not wearing a mask. Round them up. Get their addresses. Especially the Asian guy. He looks suspicious. We can blame the whole thing on blame the whole thing on him. Stuff him in the back of the car. Oh, we need three cars? Okay. Put the Asian guy on the roof. We only need two cars. This is like what it's coming down to. It's insane. Quash privacy laws for the betterment of society. Whose betterment? Not mine. Over time, they say, the compelling interest will fade. But in the first months, the closing down of businesses and curfews and stay-at-home orders are likely to remain in place without much pushback from the courts. You're going to get pushback from the people. It's coming. You can feel it. I can feel it. I got it. Always had a good ear to the ground on what's happening on the street, on Main Street. I don't really give a shit what's happening on Wall Street, but on Main Street, a pretty good pulse of what's going on. Trouble's coming. Trouble's coming. Weather's break. When that weather breaks at night, it's not more, you know, 40 or 50 degrees at night on the East Coast and near major metropolitan areas, you're going to have problems. You watch. Ask any street cop. During the first week of April, Daytona Beach police invited the media to the unveiling of a quartet of drones purchased through a combination of confiscated and federal money. Forfeiture money, yeah. Well, at least they're not paying strippers anymore with it, or at least they took a break from paying strippers. Did a lot of work on forfeiture scandals, covering police and stuff. Those guys go out of control with the money. You might as well give it to the. You might as well let the criminals keep the money with what the cops do with it. Tim Irfan, fucker. I didn't make that name up. That's true. Tim Irfan, fucker, told Daytona. Thank God this is an explicit show, or they'd throw me off. Tim Irfan, fucker, told the Daytona Beach News Journal. The drones had the, Sergeant Irfan, fucker. How many guys got locked up because they said to this guy, is your name really Irfan, fucker? Really? I mean, forget it, right? If you got a couple pops and this guy comes and harasses you in the street, you're going downtown because you can't let a guy get away with that name, Irfan, fucker. At least where I come from. He told the Daytona newspaper, the drone had the ability to fly within a few hundred feet of someone in a crowd and detect that person's temperature. Quote, I need a RoboCop voice here. If I zoom in on a crowd and people and somebody in there had everybody was 98.6 degrees or whatever the new normal is, 97, and somebody had a 102 fever, he would be red in a crowd of orange people. Irfan, fucker, told the paper. Wow, that guy got a lot of fights growing up. Bet you he can throw. Either that or he's a string bean who had to become a cop because he was compensating. Within 2 weeks of the plan announced in Daytona Beach, new Civil Liberties Alliance attorneys sent a 4-page letter to the Daytona Beach Police Chief Craig Capri and the city's attorney threatening a lawsuit. Your department's use of drones to conduct mass surveillance of people's temperatures with the express purpose of discerning whether they may have a virus is plainly unconstitutional. Yeah. I'm sure the response was, so what? Now, they backed off a little bit, but isn't it a little freaky that, more than freaky that these drones are out there, right? We have a drone that follows around Bill Clinton, figure out what he was up to. Maybe there was. Maybe Epstein had one. From what we hear, he's got a lot of film somewhere. Probably the feds probably have it now, and they're making deals behind the scenes. You know how I feel about the protection racket. New headline, Congressman Pelosi blocking investigation into China coronavirus origins. Congressman Guy Reschenthaler of Pennsylvania. Reschenthaler. I still can't get the guy, Sergeant Focker. Sergeant. Whatever his name was, out of my mind. Now I got this guy, Reschenthaler, discussed his efforts to investigate tax dollars that flowed through a New York firm to the Wuhan lab. He said that Pelosi and House Democrats are not interested in holding the Chinese Communist Party accountable and instead want to focus their oversight efforts on politically harming President Trump, again, just like they tried and failed with the partisan impeachment last year and earlier this year.
Hello, everybody. My chocolates. I'm not worried about this letter from Russian Schlossler. This Russian Schlossler letter is getting in the way of my chocolates and ice cream. Hello, everybody.
Reschenthaler wrote a letter this week to Secretary of Defense Mark Esper inquiring about a Pentagon grant to EcoHealth Alliance, a New York firm that has had a history of funding the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Isn't that nice? Everything that's coming out of New York. You got Playboy, Governor Love, who's single and he wants to mingle, Cuomo. You got him coming out of New York spending all of our federal tax dollars on stuff we don't even need. How bad are these people in New York? Remember that movie with Kurt Russell, Escape from New York? If you have a brain and you're in New York, it's time to escape. Okay? Get out while you still can. These guys, EcoHealth Alliance, funding the Wuhan Institute of Virology with subgrants, okay? You know how they funded it? Not with their money, with yours. They got federal grants from you. So you're actually, and we are actually funding the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The Pentagon grant the congressman was inquiring about was for research into a bat-borne zoonotic disease and their potential as weapons of mass destruction or biological weapons. Ooh, sounds familiar. While it is unclear if that grant saw U.S. taxpayer money flowing from it out of the Wuhan lab, it is known that another grant that EcoHealth Alliance received did spend U.S. tax dollars in the Chinese lab. This is your money flowing. And guess who runs like $6 billion of the purse string of federal research grants? Fauci. I'm sorry, all I have is the applause and the crickets and some other strange sound effects. Fauci's back at it again. That grant. Oh, look at this. Here it is. I didn't even read. Like, I don't read this stuff. I read it raw because I like it better that way. I don't like to write stuff and come up with corny shit. I just do it on the fly. That grant from the National Institute of Health, in particular the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, which is run by the now famous Dr. Anthony Fauci, saw U.S. tax dollars sent to EcoHealth Alliance for researching coronaviruses from bats flow out to the Chinese lab in Wuhan. I knew it. Fauci. Fauci stroking checks. Unbelievable. Russian Chancellor said, if Americans want Congress to have a real investigation into the origins of the Chinese coronavirus and hearings about their tax dollars going to this lab in Wuhan, Republicans would need to retake the House majority in November and commence those hearings next year. Wow. Let's see what else happened here with this story. This story is heating up. Russian Chancellor. He's from Western PA. You should just call him the Russian Antler. They like to hunt their deer out there, boy. He said, quote, they don't want to get to, talking about Pelosi and the Democrats, okay? They don't want to get to the bottom of these grants, and they also don't want my resolution run on the floor about defunding the World Health Organization, or at least getting Dr. Tedros to resign and getting an international organization to investigate how the World Health Organization was either grossly negligent in dealing with the... This is the longest sentence in history. I apologize. Russian Antler, you got to learn how to... Okay? Put down the Permane sandwich and the Iron City beer. This sentence is 9 lines. You're supposed to read that like a ventriloquist over here. Basically, he says that, you know, obviously they don't want to uncover it because they're, for many reasons, right? Why wouldn't you want to uncover? Why is Fauci, the more important question is, and it's a good grab by a Russian Antler or Russian Chancellor or whatever his name is. Russian Chantler's at Sheetz right now eating a chili dog. God bless him. Okay, well, that is a good story. I want to follow up on that tomorrow on True Pundit. I'll definitely follow up on that because that's problematic. You know, Fauci's a bad guy. Bad guy. Very bad guy. He should be locked up, indicted. I'd love to see how much money he's made through the years on these schemes. Millions. If you're his age and he's still fucking around in the government, he's making a lot of money. Anybody else would have hung it up and be really enjoying their retirement. But when you're a lawn jockey, retirement is grim. Standing there all day with your lantern, looking out on traffic and neighbor kids riding their bikes, it's a grim retirement. Left-wing, new headline, left-wing group, where are we at? 28 minutes, not bad. I'm zipping here. Left-wing group using taxpayer-funded software designed to combat ISIS to take down Trump. This is interesting. Of course, everything I read it to you is hopefully interesting. That's the whole point. That's why we pick it out. And all these stories that we talk about are on True Pundit the following day, which is today, Tuesday, the day ahead of myself, Tuesday the 5th. I'm going to need some tequila after I'm done with this Cinco de Mayo. Next year, I'll do it, the whole broadcast in Spanish. I'll brush up on my Spanish, my snow-capped Spanish. You can look into that if you want. Interesting stuff from hanging out with DEA guys. You have to know your way around Spanish. Get out of some sticky situations. You want to see like, where can I find a good doctor? Not I want to drink a beer. Okay. Conoces un buen médico. Do you know a good doctor? A new left-wing political Action Committee advised by retired Army General Stanley McChrystal. Wait a minute. McChrystal is reportedly planning to use software that was developed to be used against Islamic terrorists and was developed using taxpayer money. Are you following the trend here with these government droids? Like Fauci, they developed these massive things using millions of dollars. Well, if you add it up, it is billions of dollars. Fauci has like 5 or 6 billion purse strings every year. But all these people, they developed this technology with government money and then they use it privately. It's so corrupt, guys. It's so corrupt. I've been covering corruption 35 years, more. It's so deep. It's not fixable, by the way. There's no chance this can be fixed because it's so deep. We need a restart. The whole thing has to be thrown out. The whole, not drain the swamp. Forget the swamp. Restart it. Take the Constitution. Restart it, the whole thing over. Get rid of all these idiots in D.C. Restart it. It's the only hope. One way or another, that's the only chance. Gonna have to roll up your sleeves, read between the lines. Look at world history. This is where we're headed. Like it or not. You won't hear that on Netflix. Anyhow, this group with McChrystal, they got the software used to battle against Islamic terrorists, and now they're using it to combat positive messaging about President Donald Trump's handling of the coronavirus pandemic in an apparent attempt to upend Trump's chances of winning the election. Well, that's good. McChrystal's really a shaky guy as well. Obviously. Google his name and scam or fraud and see what you come up with. Well, we should go into him later. Very interesting guy. Interesting meaning not so interesting when it comes to truth, justice, and the American way. You think these bad guys were bad when they were on the inside? They get out, they're even worse. Put a little money in their pocket, they go fucking haywire. Government salary for all those years, and they get a taste, they get their beak wet with those big dollars, and they go nuts. And they got the wives who've never seen that amount of money, they go nuts too. They've been living in poverty as like army wives their whole life, so to speak, you know, not very, very, and they see this money coming in. I've worked with these guys in the private sector, and the wives get crazy. It's like their ship has come in, the poor guys. They thought they were going to retire. Bullshit, not when the wife gets a taste of those checks. Time to redo everything. $10,000 carpets. I had one guy, okay? His wife, he got out. FBI guy, he got out. The FBI, top guy, North Jersey. Started making a lot of money. He's working for Kroll. We did a lot of Kroll's work and other guys. He was working for Kroll, investigative, doing something overseas. And he was making mad dough. And his wife became such like a menace. He was working from home. And she was always like, oh, like, what's going on? What are you working on? And how much money, Bubba? He went and he got an apartment, like, two towns over in Bergen County, right? And he said, yeah, well, I got to go in the office. And he'd go to the apartment just to get some sleep and some peace and quiet. And then he'd come back a couple hours later. Yeah, short day at the office. Okay, some of the wives, they go a little haywire when the money starts coming in, especially if they haven't had money for a while. So just a little insight into guys like McChrystal and that whole group. The group is called Defeat Disinfo, and it's using artificially intelligenced and network analysis to map discussion of the president's claims on social media. quote, it will seek to intervene by identifying the most popular counter narratives and boosting them through a network of more than 3.4 million influencers across the country, in some cases paying users with large followings, large money, to take sides against the president. There you go. This happens on both sides, guys, conservative and Democrats. There's a lot of these guys you follow on Twitter. They're just gunslingers. They go from one campaign to another. They're carpetbaggers. They're hired guns. They're not necessarily that great at what they do, but they get paid to promote a certain ideology, in this case, to be anti-Trump. That's what they get paid for. So if you see somebody, this is always interesting, right? If you see somebody that's, yeah, you know, Trump's pretty good, I supported him when he got elected and everything, and then all of a sudden they start tweeting, this guy is crazy. He's for no reason. Now, I'm saying if the president deserves the criticism, that's one thing. But if, like, when the economy was jamming and things were going pretty good, there's a couple guys out there like, I will not support Trump. He's bad for the country. It's like, wait a minute. You've been for him for like 4 years. What are you talking about? They flipped on a dime. They did a 180. You know why? Somebody came with a paycheck and said, I want you to support this person, right? I want you to support this person. I want you to support that person. So they have to pivot because they're paid. This is what we're talking about. 3.4 million influencers on Twitter and social media. And you think what you're reading on there is real life? You think it's true? When these dopes sit down and pen certain narratives, and then you see all their wing monkeys start penning the same narratives, the money's flowing. You read True Pundit. For instance, last 2 weeks, you read True Pundit, everybody else talking, Flynn, 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 Flynn. Not us. We already did our reporting on Flynn. We're years ahead of everybody on Flynn. There's no reason for us to harp on Flynn. We covered a little bit of Flynn, but we're covering other stuff nobody else is covering. That's what we're doing. We're out in front of everybody else on stuff. When you see everybody talking about the same thing, that's okay if it's actually an organic news story. But when you see that same type of behavior with something completely unrelated, doesn't really make any sense, paid for. And those guys are bought and sold. And they're fooling you on a daily basis. So be on the lookout for that so you can wise up. It takes time. Figure these guys out. A review of Defeat Disinfo's website shows that it promotes blatant disinformation against the president, like claiming that Trump, quote, told us to inject disinfectants into our bodies, unquote, claim that's been debunked. The initiative is run by Curtis Hoagland, who received initial funding for the technology from DARPA. DARPA is the Pentagon's research arm. Your money working against you, corruption in the government, taking your money, turning it against you. Tell me how this country is even salvageable from a corruption standpoint. It's not. DARPA is the research arm of the Pentagon that is responsible for combating extremism overseas, radical terrorists, and now they're using the money against the president of the United States to make sure he doesn't get elected. Yeah. Where's William Barr? Anybody's, hey Barr, did you hear about this project with McChrystal and DARPA? Yeah, they're using tax money to attack the president, and they're greasing like 3.4 million influencers on bribing them. Barr? I guess he's not around. Hmm. Somebody check Golden Corral. So they're taking taxpayer-funded technology that was designed for war, and they're using it for political purposes against American citizen, who is the president of the United States, and in kind, and in turn, using it against the 63 million people who voted for him. Oh, and by the way, again, you paid for it. Where are we at, 40 minutes? I like the cricket sound. I'll probably overuse it and you'll get sick of it. What a story. That they are picking these stories out here. I don't, like I said, I don't look at this at all. Take a quick drink of water. Because, and I get, they say, well, why don't you look at it? Mike, look at it. I said, nope. I'm like a trial attorney. I like to stand on my feet and just go. It's raw. Stuff pops into my head. Sometimes I get better jokes like a day later. Like yesterday I was thinking, huh, I should have said that. Yeah, I should have said that when I was talking about one thing or another. But it's just better if you let it flow. Otherwise, I think it sounds too phony and too rehearsed. Like I don't want to sound like everybody else, you know? I don't. Maybe that's why this thing's doing so good. It's not rehearsed and it's not phony and it's not, we don't have writers and people spinning things and we don't have to be nice to people. We don't have anybody we have to be nice to. We don't owe a fucking crumb to anybody who's a big influencer or a big politician. Nobody helped us to come up through this except you. I got no help from the right-wing media. None. So they're fucking open game as far as I'm concerned. All of them. And politicians. Nobody helped us. They actually, to our detriment, continually stole from us and heisted stories from us without crediting. So we don't owe anybody. I might be the most dangerous motherfucker in the media. Believe me. Or rattlesnake, you step out of line, I'm coming for you. Headline. Sorry for my language. I'll try to, you know what? I'll try to make it an effort to improve it. No, I won't. If I haven't done it in my house, I'm not going to do it for you. This is called honesty, right? Nobel Prize winning scientist shares COVID-19 data showing strict lockdowns were an overreaction. Now, what the hell does he know? He's just a Nobel winning scientist. What the hell does he know? Professor Michael Levitt, who teaches structural biology at the Stanford School of Medicine, won the 2013 Nobel Prize in Chemistry for the development of multi-scale models for complex chemical systems. Bet you this guy had a rockin' science project in high school, right? This dude wasn't fucking around with the baking soda and vinegar volcano. This guy was like splitting atoms in the gym. According to Levitt, coronavirus data show that sweeping lockdown measures were an overreaction that may actually backfire. It's backfiring as far as the country's concerned. Country's in the toilet. His observation is a simple one, that in an outbreak after outbreak of the disease, a similar mathematical pattern is observable regardless of government interventions. After around a two-week exponential growth of cases and subsequently deaths, some kind of break kicks in and the growth starts slowing down. The curve quickly becomes sub-exponential. The unmitigated... Are you following this? Okay. This isn't stuff you find on the back of a Cracker Jack box. This is like heavy stuff. But the guy is saying that government intervention and the lockdowns, okay, didn't do squat. The unmitigated scenarios modeled by, among others, Imperial College, and which tilted governments across the world into drastic action, relied on a presumption of continued exponential growth. Aren't those morons in the UK, weren't they, Imperial College? They said 2 million people were going to die in the US, and they started this whole thing. I don't know what kind of college that is over there. But Professor Levitt's point, this is back to the guy from Stanford who didn't have the baking soda volcano at his science fair. Professor Levitt's point is that that actually hasn't happened anywhere, even in countries that have been relatively lax in their responses. In other words, it hasn't doubled and tripled and quadrupled and grown like that, right? Like a Ponzi scheme. These guys said that this was going to grow like a Ponzi scheme. The only thing that's ever grown that fast and then lost money that fast is Social Security. The greatest Ponzi scheme ever invented, by the way. But it's not a Ponzi scheme because it's the government. Okay? The government. Quote from Dr. Levitt. I think the policy of herd immunity is the right policy. I think Britain was on exactly the right track before they were fed wrong numbers and they made a huge mistake. I see the standout winners as Germany and Sweden. They didn't practice too much lockdown and they got enough people sick to get some herd immunity, Levitt explained. Quote again, I see the standout losers as countries like Australia and Israel that had very strict lockdown but didn't have many cases, he said. They have damaged their economies, caused massive social damage, damaged the educational year of their children, but not obtained any herd immunity. I think he left out the United States there. We're in the same ballpark. We've damaged our economy. We've damaged our societal world, our societal life, our private lives, social lives, with family, with friends, with strangers. You go out to a store now and everybody has masks on. Okay? Some may argue a lot of people should be wearing masks. I might not disagree with you, but still. If I can't, like, when I go out, I like to talk to people. It drives my family crazy. But I've been talking to people for years. That's how you get information out of people. I'll just start chatting them up in the middle of the store. We're at a store a few months ago before this whole thing started, and the guy said, gave his name to the guy and was like, I don't know, Polanski or something like that. And I said, oh, hey, what's going on? You Polish? I thought my wife was going to, and my wife and my son are with me. They're like, oh my God, here he goes. Jesus, he's on the loose. He's going to get into a fist fight here in the store, this guy. I saw you, Polish? Polanski, huh? That's a Polish name. Did your parents come over on the boat or your grandparents? And the guy was like, excuse me? And my family's like, oh, here he goes. He's got it. This is it. His luck streak of talking to people that has run years. The streak is over. The guy started talking. We just started talking because my grandma on my father's side is Polish. So we started talking and we talked for like 20 minutes. I like talking to people. You can't talk to people with a mask on. You can't. It's like you're in your own world. So, yeah, I mean, the price, what they've done here is crazy to the country. It's just a different country. Not just because I can't harass total strangers to get information. That's my business. You go to a different country. You're on assignment. You start working the streets. Sometimes you got to spread a little money around. But you start talking to people, figure out what's going on. That's what I've been doing my whole life. I talk to people. I pick out little things that they don't even know that they're doing. They might have a certain dialect. I could tell where they're from in the country. I've just come up to him. Hey, you're from Northern California? Hey, you're from Pittsburgh? Hey, you sound like you're from Illinois. Hey, what part of the South are you from? You sound like you're from Syracuse, somewhere around there. My wife says, what is wrong with you specifically? Then you start talking to people. You can't do it. Then it's sad. You can't even see people smile. Sometimes, you know, you smile at somebody. Somebody does something stupid in line behind you in the store. And you turn around like, this fucking, look at this guy over here. You can't even do that anymore. You can't even make fun of the people who hold you up in line if you're at the store. Because you're a mile away from them, right? And they can't even hear that. They can't even hear you snicker either. Like, look at this fucking guy. This guy's paying by check. What's next? You're going to film something? You're going to call Zapruder to film your kid's birthday party? Get the fuck out of here. People at the store with their checks. Here come the change purse. We'll be here in half an hour. She's got the change purse out. Do you take Canadian coins? Anyhow, this guy hit it out of the park. He says, there is no doubt in my mind that when we come to look back on this, the damage done by lockdown will exceed any saving of lives by a huge factor, Levitt predicted. He's not wrong. You know what else he's not wrong about, in a sense? Well, yeah, 51 minutes. I've said this before. The downturn, socioeconomic downturn, the cost of that, with the GDP taking a nosedive, people losing their businesses, going to see people taking their own lives, unfortunately. I hate to say that, but the model for me to say that is worldwide. Whenever the GDP declines in any country in the world, through world history, people die. Whether it's depression or poverty, desperation, homicide. Not only that, not just about deaths and things like that, but your quality of life diminishes greatly, because it just does, for obvious reasons. A lot of it's financially driven. The world is financially driven, and especially your income. If your company's not making money, either where you work for somebody or you had your own company. So it's even worse than Levitt says, the Stanford guy. Because he said, there's no doubt in my mind that when we come back to look on this, the damage done by the lockdown will exceed any savings of lives by a huge factor. Add in what I just said. I'm not making that up. That's standard practice. You go into a poor country that once was rich or was wealthy, it's even worse. Because of the disparity from the highs and lows, the mountains, the mountain peaks and the valleys are even more drastic, and that has a severe backlash over time. And the fall from the fall from grace, is for lack of a better term, is not so kind to people and their families and things like that. When you're going through tough times, it has a lasting effect on the folks who remain behind, and it's sad to think about what's coming. Say some prayers. Even if you don't believe in a God or something, start believing in something. Say some prayers, man. Say some prayers for the folks who do believe. You know, what can it hurt? Just say some prayers, right? Can't hurt anything. And be nice to folks as best as you can, even when you're going through tough times, especially family members. Take it from me. I know from experience, you can be mean bastards to our family members when we're going through tough times and not even realize it. So take a step back and say, I got to be a better person. Even when you don't feel like being a better person. Headline. That's it for the Dr. Phil Show. See you tomorrow. Don't get me started on swimming pool deaths. Anyway, if you saw his recent clip, the guy lost his mind. China warns of possible armed conflict with U.S. over coronavirus backlash. Now, here we go. Okay. An internal report presented to Chinese President Xi Jinping and other top leaders concludes that global anti-China sentiment is at a level not seen since the 1989 Tiananmen Square crackdown and recommends preparing for the worst-case scenario of armed conflict with the United States. Let me tell you something, Xi Jinping. The anti-China sentiment at this point makes Tiananmen Square look like a Girl Scout picnic. The report created by the China Institutes of Contemporary Internal Relations. Wow, that sounds official. Which is affiliated with the Ministry of State Security. Oh, okay. It's not really an institute. It's just part of the communist government. Suggests that the wave of anti-China sentiment is led by the United States. Gee, I wonder why. I can't understand why that would be. Which sees China's rise as a global superpower as a threat to Western democracies. Yeah, you're going to take over the world by fucking making tchotchkes that sell at Walmart. We know. A global superpower that would be in shambles without the United States, by the way. We can always buy more expensive shit that's made somewhere else. Guess what? You can't make expensive shit. You only make cheap stuff. This is probably going to heat up. Unfortunately, this is going to be another byproduct of what's going on. Trump might be forced to make a move against these guys somehow or whatever. I mean, based on what's going to happen. It's already happened. We just don't. The damage is already done. Sometimes it takes a while for Americans to realize the damage has been done. And this is going to be one of these things that plays out in the next coming months. It matters when we get everything opened back up. The sooner the better. But believe me, the damage is done. And the people in D.C. realize this. Whether we open back up on May 15th, June 1st, June 15th, the damage is done. And it's going to play out through the summer. And obviously through the fall. Before we get a good assessment of how bad things are. And China should be sweating. One of those with knowledge of, where are we at? 58 minutes. What's left on this thing? All right, we're doing good. This is the last story. President Trump in recent days has been ratcheting up criticism of Beijing while threatening new tariffs on China. According to the report, which warns that anti-China sentiment could also threaten their Belt and Road infrastructure initiatives, and that Washington could take advantage by offering financial and military support for regional allies, which would in turn make the security situation in Asia more volatile. China's foreign ministry is now calling for peace and cooperation, saying that sound and steady development of China-U.S. relations are in the best interest of both countries and in the international community. Remember that when you don't have any money and tough to buy food. Do we have any meat stories today? Oh my God, no meat stories. No meat stories. I don't think we did. These guys are great. They cause worldwide problems. And you know what? The U.S. might have hands in this too. Well, time is going to tell, right? Not the U.S. Hopefully not the U.S. government. But people in the U.S., factions in the U.S., right? But they create, these people are all the same. They create massive problems. And then when they get called on it or threatened, they say, whoa, chill out, man. What are you so hostile for? You're really hostile. We don't do that trip anymore, man. We're cool. We're all about love and peace and cooperation, man. After you create havoc, when somebody comes after you, you call a timeout. These are the same assholes you played football with. Whenever there was a problem or you scored a touchdown, they wanted you to throw a fucking flag. Somebody was doing something. Every time you drained a three-point shot in basketball, come on, that's a foul. Yeah, this guy, I mean, you know, these guys are a problem. Some of these guys are like, sound like a lot like the U.S. politicians who needed to get roughed up a little bit when they were kids when they stepped out of line. Would have straightened them out. Some of these guys in China sound like they need a karate kick to the head when they were younger. Change their outlook on life. You get a good ass whooping when you're a kid, boy. Not from your parents. I mean from out and about, school, sports, whatever. You learn respect. It gives you perspective. Words or actions that enrage in political manipulation or stigmatization under the pretext of the pandemic, including taking the opportunity to sow discord between countries, are not conducive to international cooperation against the pandemic. China's foreign minister. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I said all I needed to say. 1 hour, 1 minute, boom, we're done. Thank you for following here and listening to the news today and the pain in the morning. We will have, what do we got coming? Oh, tomorrow's the main podcast, right? And I think we're going to do pain in the morning tomorrow. I don't know how we're doing this pain in the morning on Wednesdays if we're going to do it. I think we're going to keep doing pain in the morning on Wednesdays when the main podcast comes out. We'll be breaking news on the main podcast tomorrow. And I likely will do another more pain. I have to look at the pain in the morning on Wednesday. I think it's going down. So it could be two podcasts on Wednesday. There have been the last 2 weeks. But folks on patreon.com/truepundit, thanks for giving a shit and supporting us. It means a lot to us. And we appreciate it more than you ever know, as we've talked about on there privately. So folks that might want to jump in there, patreon.com/truepundit. We do appreciate it, and we're working to give your money's worth. So hang in there. Let's get through another day and try to keep your chin up. In times of doubt, say a prayer. Take care. Be good.